beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a privilege to be here with the boys, and I'm honoured, you know. I don't take this as a small thing to speak God's word. I think it's the most important thing you could ever do is speak the word of God, you know. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain forever. You know, the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's what directs us, it's what guides us, it's what teaches us, it rebukes us, it corrects us, the Bible says, and it trains us in righteousness, that we're fully equipped for every good work that God has for us. So I'm just going to commit this. Father, we just want to say that we love you. We adore you, Lord. We just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for each other. Father, we pray for your word that will go forth and accomplish that for which you were sent, O God. I pray that ears will be open to hear, O God. Hearts will be open to receive, Lord, what you're saying, O God, to your church, Lord, to your people, Father, and me included, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, Father, that I pray for release over your church, Lord, that healing will be released, the healing oil of God, Father, your healing balm, Lord God. Like that word, the song that Rob sang, Father God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, which leads us into all truth, that he's a healing spirit, that he's a spirit that brings freedom into our lives. And Father, I just pray that this day, Lord, Father, you will unearth every untruth, Lord, and you will replace it with your truth, O God, for your glory, O God. And every head that's hung low, Lord, that you will lift it up, Lord. Your word says you are the lifter of our heads, O God. You are our strength, you are our hope, and that you are everything we need, O God. And we love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. During the week, like the Lord said to me years ago, he says, you'll only speak when I get you to speak. There's times of being asked to go places and speak in different places. But there's no point in going to a place if you're not bringing something from God. And that's my belief, because it's about him and it's about what he's going to do. Because the Bible says in and of ourselves we can't do anything. You know, we have to be connected to the vine. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But anyway, today what I'm going to talk about is, and I really believe the Lord put this on my heart, is that the Lord is my shepherd. And Psalm 23. It's a very familiar psalm. Sometimes it's read at funerals, it's read in all different situations in life. Most unbelievers that don't know Christ would probably have heard this psalm, whether it's in school, whether it's on the internet or wherever it may be. But I'm going to share a little bit about my story first, about being a lost sheep. And the Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us went our own way. But the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So the Bible says, before we came to Christ, that we were lost, that we were separated from God. That he gives this picture that we're a lost sheep, like up in a mountain, just wandering, or in a desert place, or within the world now, there's many lost sheep. And I was one of them. I lived in Shamrock Dermot Street until I was 4 years of age. I moved out to Dundalkin in Neilstown. And then eventually we moved up to Corryvale as a young boy and teenager and gone up into nearly my 20s. But my father was a lost sheep. My mother was a lost sheep. My relations were lost sheep. They were all outside of Christ. And they had no direction. They were living in darkness. That's what the Bible says. When you're outside of Christ, you're living in the kingdom of darkness, separated from God, no direction, following the ways of the world. And because of that, I had a lot of difficulty in my life as a kid. My mother and father broke up when I was 4 years of age. My dad was in addiction. He was in and out of prison. He was in a lot of different things in his life, because of sin, because of brokenness. And he was lost, and he was separated from God. and so was my mother. And at a very young age, 10 years of age, I was running away from home. I was sleeping out in fields and cement mixers. I was wrecking classrooms. I was a very broken young man. Very lost. No direction. Looking for direction, looking for guidance, looking for safety, looking for protection. And I couldn't find it. I used to hang around Neilstown shops, the older lads. And a lot of money to crime, or, you know, a lot of things that was, that's where I got my guidance, that's where I got my direction. And growing up as a young man, my education was destroyed. I was put out of school. I couldn't concentrate in school. There was so much going on at home. Couldn't focus, my mind couldn't be still. There was addiction in my home. My stepdad was a chronic drug addict. So I've seen a lot of madness even as a child. A lot of brokenness, a lot of rejection. My dad lived 2 doors away from me with another woman, another family, and had a child with that family. And my mother had kids with this other family. So I felt not part of this family and not part of that family. So I started trying to survive as best I could. And as I said, I ended up hanging out with guys. I done things for acceptance, to fit in, to get approval, and all these types of stuff. And in saying all of that, I found football probably as a teenager, 13 up to about 17. And did probably most things that teenagers try. I drank, I tried cannabis, I done LSD, I tried, nibbled at different things. But from 17 till about 23, from first thing in the morning to last thing at night, I used drugs. I ended up on heroin, ended up in and out of prison, ended up in methadone programs, and I could not change my life. Everything that I'd done, tried change. I tried all the clinics, I tried doctors, I tried counselors. I tried to get into treatment on numerous occasions, and I couldn't. I went to Cork, I went to Newbridge, I went to my brother's house, I went to friends' houses, I went here, there, and everywhere. And no matter where I went, I still had this sinful nature, this sinful man. And Paul talks about the apostle. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I want to do, don't want to do, I keep on doing them. He says, but it's not me doing it, it's the sin that is living in me. He says, I have the desire to do what is right, but I haven't got the power to carry it out. But then he says, well, thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? And 28 years ago, I ended up getting into a treatment center. And a guy gave me a card. And on the card was, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And that nobody can come to the Father except through him. And I got that prayer, and I prayed that. If they'd have told me to stand on my head and do a tumble or do whatever, I would have did it. Because I knew my heart and soul. I didn't want to live before I stopped using drugs. It was not life, I was in misery. I was broken, shattered, crippled by life, crippled by my addiction, on the ground. When I went into that treatment centre and I gave my life to Jesus, I'm 28 years now, free from drink, drugs, cigarettes. I was physically healed. I was at a meeting one time, about 10 years ago or more. And I was at a hurt in my leg in Ardee Street, coming down, I was opening the shirt, I twisted my knee. And I went to a meeting. There was a guy there, I was down the back of the meeting. And the Bible says it's the word of knowledge. And he says, there's someone here now, he said, their right knee is being healed. I felt the heat coming over my leg. My knee was a new knee. It was totally brand new. As I was saying with my education, I got huge amount of help out of my wife, she'll tell you that, and everyone else. But I have a level 7, a level 8. I'm part of a management team in an organisation. And the reason I'm saying all this was, he was no different than me. None of you, you heard my story. None of you are any different. God has a plan for each one of us. And I'm telling you, he gives you the ability to do the purpose and the plan that he has laid out for you. But back to the thing, I was a lost sheep. As I said, and I was very broken, very wounded. Some would say crippled. Well, I'm 28 years on the road now, and the Lord has been my shepherd. He has provided for me, he has cared for me, he has fed me, he has cared for me, he has done things in my life that I can't even put it into words. It's like what Rob saying this morning about the goodness of God, the restoration of God. I got the honour and the privilege of leading my dad before he went home to the Lord. I got the honour and privilege of leading my stepfather. They're up in heaven now. I got the honour and privilege of leading my sister. She's in heaven now. To share the gospel to them. And now they're in Christ, they're in heaven. I remember going to Barcelona a good number of years ago. And I went in, myself and Neil. You're going to see Barca. Leon Messi was playing for them at the time. Here's a man that was living in a cement mixer at 10 years of age. Now he's in Barcelona watching Messi. But I went in and everyone was bound down. I'm not joking, it was a bit scary. Messi. And I'm not saying he's a good love footballers, love their skills, love the way they do everything. But it was worship. And I got a check, and I got this, oh, hold on there. We don't worship man. But the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, what good is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? And I'm telling you, the Lord teaches you things in these times. And what the Lord was saying was, see, what glasses are we looking through? I'm saying this to myself. The Bible says, what the Lord was saying to me, listen, you could have a million, billion people cheering you on in life, but if you don't know Christ, the treasure is greater in Christ than it is in all of that. Because you can't pay for your soul. Only the blood of Jesus has paid for it. He's the one that has marked you. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sin. Past sin, present, and future. And that's for each one of us, guys. But I'm going to read out Psalm 23. That's my story. This is my beautiful wife, Neil. I've Elijah, who was nearly 9. I've Ariella, who was 6, going on 7. And I've a daughter, 24, and a granddaughter. And I'm telling you, God has been good. God is faithful. It's like what Rob was singing there. You know, we were singing the work that he starts, he will complete. When God gets it, when you give your life to God, he's committed to the journey with you. He's committed not just to, you know, he's committed to the full journey. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You know? And sometimes you might slow down. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord just takes your hand and walks gently with you. Lovingly and tenderly and kind and caring. Because he loves you. No matter how far you've roamed, he's a loving father. He wants you to bring you back into the fold. So this is the Psalm of David. A lot of you are probably very familiar with it. And David was a shepherd boy. The story of David in the Bible is an amazing story. So many stories of his life. And he was anointed as a 70. I think he was a very young boy. He went down to face Goliath. He took the head off Goliath. He took Goliath down. And he had many battles. But David always sought the Lord. And he had failures as well. And even when he failed, he went after God. So if you fail, boys, run back to God. Because we all fail at times. Each one of us. So the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I just want to pause there for a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And I was thinking about this. You know, the Bible says store up your treasure in heaven. You know, don't go after all the possessions of the world. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything will be given to you. It's the upside down to the world. Now, if God calls you into business or God calls you into different things, that's great. But the scripture says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything will be given to you. So David is saying, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And I don't think he's looking at what he has. But I think he's looking at who he has. I know there was many times in the Old Testament where the Lord said to the priest, he says, I am your inheritance. And the Lord is our inheritance. We have an inheritance in Christ. I know the Apostle Paul said it. He says, I learned to be content in every circumstance, whether well fed or hungry, in plenty or in want, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think it comes from that we look to Christ for our strength, for our peace, for everything that we need. It's like that invitation today to come, that we don't have to try to do things in our own strength, but we can look to God. And around that, my own personal thing, where the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I was only saying this to Rob earlier. Like insecurities, fears, doubts, unbelief, all of that can come in and try wind you up in a sense. God's not going to provide for you. You're not going to have what you need. All these little doubts and fears that come into our minds, or comes into my mind anyway, if I'm honest, especially when you have a family, you know, sometimes you can just, your mind can just even wander. Before you know you're there, it just drifts off into these places at times. But the Bible also says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, but guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He leads me, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And just then, there's a number of things there. He says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He leads, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures. You think of green pastures, you bring, whether, you, I don't know if anyone's, any sheep or cows or anything like that, but that's good pastures. It's good ground to put your sheep out in, that they feed on, you know. He leads me beside the quiet waters. Like that stillness, you know, that we come to God, we rest in him, we look to him, that be still and know that I am God. Out of that place of knowing him, resting in him, spending time with him, going for a walk with him. Whether that's going for a walk, whether that's sitting in putting worship on, whether that's most importantly getting your word out and reading it, you know. It all builds faith in us. It puts the truth of God in our lives that we know. Oh, God is good. God is a shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He directs me. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He refreshes my soul. I love this part. It says, He guides me along the right paths. You know? For His name's sake. About 15 years ago, I was in church, and we had a Holy Spirit night. And we all got our books or little journals or whatever. And so we just put the worship on, and we just sat in the presence of God and got our journals out and just waiting on the Lord to see what He was going to say to us. And I felt the Lord at that time. He actually said to me, "You're going to have a son today." He said to me, "You're going to go to Africa." 15 years later, last year, I got to go to Africa. And the privilege, you know. And the Lord has all the pieces of the jigsaw. The Bible says all of our days are ordained. He has it mapped out. He just wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to follow Him. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He's a good plan for our lives. And the great thing about God is, as Rob said already today, the Bible says He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you go. I went to Africa. Now, all this may sound a bit thick, but I was in that, and I was over there. I was like, the Lord is the same. He's over everything. Doesn't matter what country it is. Doesn't matter what people it is. Doesn't matter what's going on in a nation. If God has a plan to do something, and He'll do it. You know, you look right through the Bible with Pharaoh. You know, the Bible says God raised up Pharaoh for such a time as that. Nebuchadnezzar. You look right through the Bible, and God used all of these different things, even within the nations. He has the whole world in His hands. It might look strange to us, we won't fully understand it. But I tell you, He's in control of everything. And He, in His sovereignty, He allows it. But His plans will be fulfilled. Because the Bible says, many are the plans in man's hearts, but the purposes of God will prevail over everything. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. But just that thing of a table being prepared for you. All the provision of God that you need. All the protection of God. Everything that you need for your life, the Lord has it. Every single thing. No matter what's going on, no matter what storm is raging, you can find your refuge in the Lord. You can sit with Him. You can rest in Him. You can have peace in the midst of turmoil. Because I've experienced it. Do I go off Keith or sometimes? Of course I do. Do I get frightened? Do I get nervous? Do I get fearful? I was fearful before I got up here earlier. Just a human like you, guys. You know? But I love this. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Imagine that. Surely the goodness of God will follow you all the days of your life. And His love. And I'm telling you now, I've experienced that for the last 28 years. It's nearly like, I'm not saying there hasn't been times where I've being in the valley, where I went through turmoil, where I went through hard times, where I went through times where you're like, God, what is going on? I even went to the pity party. You know, there'll be different things going on. And I've often expected the Lord just to go, ah, come on now, son. Come on. You know, you're going through, in your own eyes, and probably it was tough times of healing and all of that. But I remember the Lord saying, praise me. And I'm telling you, if you're ever going through a tough time, put a worship song on. I'm serious. If you're ever going into a depression or you feel like there's a cloud over your life, you put the worship music on and you just say, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for life. I thank you that you saved me. I thank you that I'm redeemed. I thank you that you took me out of darkness. I thank you that. And I guarantee you, things will start to change. And your presence of God will come. Because God responds to praise. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. He comes down. And I've noticed that in my own life, in my own walk. When I was going through tough times. Where I just put my, even like sometimes I wouldn't be able to even pray. But I just put my hand up to the Lord. And I'm telling you, God meant me. There's a scripture in Isaiah 40, verse 11. I love this scripture. Now he's talking to Israel. But God's heart is the same for his people. His heart is the same for people. He created every person in every nation. He said, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with the young. And I just always get that. I think of mothers, I think of children. I think of the role of a mother. And just the beauty of it. Of with our children. And looking after them, caring for them, providing for them. I just honor you. I really mean that as women. I honor you. Because I tell you what, these are such a gift that God has given. And in saying that, your wife will kill me. They would like you to stand up. Please.
Seriously.
Boys, all stand up. Please. Well, this can be for each one, but if anyone who felt the Lord tell me to do this, that's why I'm doing it. And I just want to thank God for you. And I know you're probably very uncomfortable, but praise the Lord. I just want to say that I love you. I'm very blessed to have you as my wife. We're 10 years married this month, actually. And but I genuinely felt the Lord telling me to honour my wife. Sometimes we don't realise how blessed we are. And I can be in that boat, if I'm honest. But this is the scripture the Lord gave me to speak over your life, to bless you with. Proverbs 31. She is clothed with strength, and I speak that over you, and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also. And he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fading. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. And Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your church. I thank you for my wife, Lord. I thank you for my brothers, Lord God, each one, Lord, and sisters of God. Father, I just pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, Lord God, Father, that you will touch each life here. Now, guys, I don't know where each person is at, but I want to give you this opportunity. And what I mean by that is, if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, that whosoever will believe in him, they will not perish but have everlasting life. For God gave his Son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, Jesus came for sinners. He didn't come for the healthy, the Bible says. He came for the sick. He came for people that had issues. Sin issues. And the Bible says there's none without sin. Not one. That we've all sinned.